Hello and welcome to The Back Straight, a Belfast-based podcast all about running. My name is Daniel Squires and I'm here with my co-host Michael McKnight. How are you this fine evening, Michael?
I'm all good, Danny. I'm excited to be up and just about running. So what's on the podcast today?
Well, for our first official episode, we've got quite a packed one. To begin, we'll be looking at a few recent race results from around the local scene. And then we're moving on to a review of the track season that's just finished. And then after that, we'll slip in a quick look at some upcoming races, including the opening of the 2023/24 cross-country season. And if time permits, we'll respond to a couple of the questions we received from our loyal listeners. Remarkably, there are people out there tuning in. I think we just hit 100 listeners on Spotify. So big thank you to all of those people.
Small steps, small steps. Look, before we get into all of that, Danny, I've got to ask you, how's the training going? You're about 7 weeks out from your Dublin Marathon debut. So how's it looking?
Everything's looking pretty good at the moment. Just been doing the usual thing, couple of workouts a week, and then just been building that Sunday long run to up to 2 hours and a bit of faster paced stuff in there as well. I haven't done any sort of really specific long marathon workouts just yet, but I think I'll sort of look to do those in the next few weeks. But yeah, all good. No injuries. Looking forward to the race. And yeah, still got some time to get super fit before then. So
yeah, and I was pleased to see that last night you were training with a quality group.
Yep, and what a night it was as well. The weather was perfect. We had two good groups going. And yeah, I came off that session last night absolutely buzzing. I mean, yeah, what a great session. And yeah, great group, as you said.
So. Yeah, good company. Well, look, let's move on and start off by looking at some of the races that have been happening. Track season's finished. More of that later. And already the action on the roads has started. So I think you're going to bring us up to date on a couple of the Antrim Coast Half Marathon, which is a huge international event, and then also the Derry and Strabane Half.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I'll be talking about those two half marathons there. I mean, I don't really know the history of the Antrim Coast Half Marathon and what level label event it is, but I do know that it's a World Athletics something label event. So that obviously brings out a lot of great elite runners. A few to mention here, a couple of quick times. We had Daniel Mateko from Kenya. He ran pretty stunning 58.36. I mean, that is fast. So, yeah, he was closely followed by an Ethiopian, Jamal Yemer, in 58.38. So must have been a big kick down for second place, first and second. And then another Ethiopian in third place in 59.49 for the men's race. And then in the women's race as well, we actually had Mesterwad Fekir. She ran 106.44. She's an Ethiopian. Followed by Eveline Chirchir, 107.38, second place there. And I believe that the third place was, it wasn't Hannah Owen. It was actually Fabian Konigstein from Germany in 110.31. But I think a real standout result from a local perspective is that half marathon, Northern Irish half marathon record by Hannah Irwin. She ran a pretty impressive 71.04. So that was a great result. As far as the mass race results, it was Conor McCambridge from North Belfast, followed by Mickey Breen and John McKeough from actually an unattached club there. Then in the women's race, we had Claire McGuigan, Maeve Brannigan, and Elisoa Crawford. So that was sort of the elite results and the mass race results.
Yeah, I think there was a few decent results. I mean, the Hannah Irwin, I thought that was a really great debut. She had big injury problems last year, but has come back into, you know, stunning form. I think she had, you know, she ran maybe a pretty good 10K over the summer as well. What was also really nice was Conan McCaughey. Had a pretty solid run. Again, very good local athlete. Good to see him in sort of in the elite race running with the big boys. Yeah, so the race is, it's James McElroy, who's a former international 800 meter. It's his baby, and it's kind of grown exponentially over the last few years. And it now really is a world-class fixture.
I mean, you just have to look at the times that they're running there. Yeah. This must be a super fast race, so...
Yeah. I mean, you know, the women are running incredibly fast as well as the guys. Scary. So what about the Darien Strabane event then? That was just, I think, last week.
The Waterside Half Marathon, that was on the 3rd of September, had over 1500 finishes, and by all accounts it was a windy day, and there's a few hills in that course. But in the men's race, that was actually taken out, so the win was taken out by a hometown favorite, in the name by the name of Carl Doherty of the City of Derry Spartans AC, in 71 minutes 25 seconds. Not far behind was Noel McNally in a time of 72:59. He runs for Roadrunners AC. And then completing the podium sandwich in third place was Gavin McClinchy in a time of 73:08. He's also from City of Derry Spartans AC. So nice little sandwich there on the podium for Derry Spartans. And then in the women's race, it was another hometown hero, Catherine Wariski from the City of Derry Spartans AC, that took the win. And this was closely followed by Caitlin Harvey of Roadrunners AC and Elaine McGuckin in third with a time of 85:49. So I think it's quite funny there. We had a Derry athlete at the top of the podium for both the men's and the women's race, followed by a Roadrunners athlete in
There you
second.
go.
So,
There you go.
yes, great results all around.
Yeah, the and I think I heard somewhere that, you know, the Derry and Strabane councils were thinking of making it a biannual event, and there's a bit of kickback, you know, worries about if that happens, if it's every other year, the event might lose a wee bit of its popularity. Probably more to come on that story. I mean, it
Yeah,
seemed to
I did
me.
sort of, yeah, I
Go on.
noticed that in my research a little bit. That's just due to, I guess, the logistics and the cost of putting on that race, that they're potentially looking at making it biannually. But I don't know if you know, but is it always the this race is the NI and Ulster Half Marathon Championship, or is it move around the country?
I don't know, but I kind of feel that if you can get 1500 runners out every year, surely from a participation, public health, competition thing, you know, it's money well spent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
That's
absolutely.
my humble opinion. Well, look, Danny, closer sort of to home in a sense. On last Sunday, we had the North Belfast Laganside 10K, which is you know, big 10K that they host and run every year. Not an amazing field. A lot of people not running, I guess. Anybody who's had a long track season will be sort of having a bit of a break or just beginning their winter training. That being said, Conal McLean from Somalicales had a pretty commanding performance. 30, I think it was 30:49. Won really, really easily. Craig McMeekin from North Down was second at 32:02. But overall, I think it was a fairly poor field. Only 10 runners broke 35 minutes. Gladys Gagnon, the perennial Gladys Gagnon, won the ladies' race with a solid 36:01. And she's a 45 master, so she's still running really well. But from a mass participation event, it was a great race to get lots of, you know, emerging runners, club runners, you know, doing their thing. And you know, it was a nice day for it also. On Friday up the coast, I think at Glenarm, the Coastal 5K took place, and Jordan Heron from Larne AC won in 15:23. He was over a minute clear of Oliver Cook of Pace Running Club. Jordan had followed up. He'd won the Storming the Castle 10K. I think he's an under 23, and he's an improving runner, and he's one to look out for this season on the country. Gemma McDonald was the first lady home in 1731. So, you know, a couple of interesting results there.
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, I did that Laganside 10K event last year and thought it was fantastic race, and hopefully something that they put on every year. It's nice to run that very similar course to the Sealy Cup, but in much better weather. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing sometimes is that I watched it a couple of years ago, and a guy, Paul Jenkins, was on the lead bike. And in the second lap, as they were coming up on the far side of the river, he was trying to get the leaders through the herds of people who were running fairly slowly. And it was a pretty tough task. But anyway, that's the results just for now. And we're going to turn our attention now to the track season. So, Danny, the end of the summer inevitably marks the end of the track season. So it seems like it's a timely moment to review what's happened over the last few months. To help us make sense of everything that's going on, we're delighted to welcome Malcolm McCausland, the athletics correspondent of the Irish News, who I think is live from his Derry studio stroke office in the back of his house. So Malcolm, great to see you. Great to have you on the back straight.
Thank you very much, Michael. I'm very pleased you invited me.
Just as some of our listeners may not know your background, so could you just give us a very quick pen portrait or audio portrait?
I'm not sure that's possible. Obviously, I've been an athlete, a runner, an official, a coach, and I do a lot of writing now, which probably classifies me as an athletics correspondent.
And we've known each other a long time. So, Malcolm, yes. The high point of any track season has to be the World Championships. Did Budapest deliver? And did it deliver specifically for the Irish athletes?
I think very much it's been really a great World Championships. And I think we've also seen the best Irish team performance, possibly in the 40-year history of the event.
And standout performances?
Well, there are a number of them. Leaving aside the two relays, I still think that we were unfortunate not to see a medal, either from Rashidat Adeleke or from our own Ciara McGeehan. Two fourth places. I mean, it's disappointing they didn't get a medal, but at the same time, to be fourth in the world is incredible, given our population and the number of people who do athletics on this island.
We had 24 athletes that represented Ireland at Budapest. Was that correct?
That's correct. We may have had a late withdrawal in Thomas Barr, who was fourth in the 2016 Olympics in Rio in the 400 hurdles. He had to cry off at the very 11th hour because of an injury. And it was a big loss because he's a very good captain of the team and he steadies nerves down.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was Ciara McGeehan. We all know the story. Fantastic junior, I think medaled in the World Championships. And then there were a few difficult years, and what a triumph of resilience and staying with it. And obviously, the move to Helen Clitheroe over the last couple of years has really worked.
Well, absolutely. I mean, my theory is that if you're a middle distance runner, you need a middle distance coach. Now, and the last two coaches that she's had were both marathon coaches for all intents and purposes. And I think really, now we've seen how well she has run 800 metres since she joined Helen Clitheroe's stable in Manchester. And I think that has been the secret to her improvement and the secret to her success in terms of the two silver medals in the Commonwealths and the Europeans last year and a fourth place in the world this year.
I mean, for me, she is without doubt now our greatest ever middle distance athlete, certainly from the North. And arguably,
well, I don't know. I mean, obviously she's very good, but I mean, I always have a soft spot. I think the best middle distance athlete we produced was Derek Graham, given the circumstances.
Yeah. Certainly. And what about? I was slightly disappointed, I have to say, in Coscorin and Brian Fay. I mean, Brian Fay last night produces a 7:36, and you know, is it a case of just the occasion getting to people, or just you need experience of that level of competition to really hit your stride?
Well, I think you're an old hand like me, Michael, and we have known people over the years who were world beaters in a paced race with no competitive pressure on them and just got pulled along by the front runners. And I think what we have, there's a demarcation, I think, between racers and time trialers. And I think Coscorin and Faye fall into the latter category, and I'd put Luke McCann in that category as well.
I mean because I'm not a great fan of the lights on the track and that whole rigmarole. And I'm very much struck by when you get to championships, there were some fantastic races. I mean, Josh Kerr gave a masterclass on how to race a 1500, and it's only really in championships where you see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Whiteman had written the draft for him last year, hadn't he? Sit on Jakob until the last 300, pass him at 200, and he doesn't have the speed to come back. But Josh Kerr was brilliant. And I don't know if many people know this or not, but Josh Kerr actually won a race at the Antrim International Cross Country a few years ago when he was an under 12. He came over with his dad. And I remember interviewing the two of them at Greenmount College. And his dad was telling me at that time that he's an ex-rugby union pro. He played for the Border Reavers, which is now a defunct club in Scotland. But so there's a sport and history in the family as well.
Okay. Danny, just bring you in for a minute. Was there a favorite moment for you in the World Championships, either from an Irish perspective or just in general, a race that got you sitting up?
Absolutely. I mean, from an Irish perspective, I loved seeing Nick Griggs and Jakob Ingebrigtsen in the same race. I think, seeing him on the TV standing right next to Jakob, that was sort of quite an epic moment, in my opinion. Definitely that 1500-meter final for the men's, where Josh Kerr repeated what Whiteman did last year, just proving that Jakob is beatable. He might seem unbeatable in these time trial races, the Diamond League type races, but in a championship, he is beatable. So that was definitely a major highlight for me. I personally, I just loved having the athletics on every night for what was it, 7 to 9 days or whatever it was, and really, really enjoyed the whole thing.
Malcolm, moving to Nick Griggs, how did you view his season? How did he do? How did he progress?
Well, I mean, we were all taken aback by Nick Griggs 2 years ago, the way in which he won that European Junior 3,000 meters. We thought it was just a formality that he would defend it. But then, of course, he ran into Niels Laros of the Netherlands, who's unbelievably good. I mean, he's won 1:44 and 3:32, and he reached the final of the 1,500 meters in Budapest. I mean, there's no disgrace in losing to him. But at the same time, I think Nick is really, although he's only 18 and he won't be 19 to December, I think really he's at a crossroads of his career, even at this stage, in the sense, I think, well, Laros can run 1:44 for 800. Nick's nowhere near that. So does Nick give up 1500 meters and concentrate on 5000s? And you saw that Brian Fay was one of the very few Europeans, possibly the only one, who was in that 5,000 meters in Budapest. So I don't know where Nick's going to he's going to stick or twist, in the sense where he's going to stick with 1500s, 3000s, or whether he's going to try and run further in the years to come.
Yeah, I mean, he undoubtedly has made progress. I mean, if you look at the times, I thought the 3:55, just shy of Jimmy McGuinness's record, was I thought was probably his finest run of the season. And I think it's probably a mark of how good he is that we've such high expectations.
Yeah, but I think another thing as well, since he won that European 3000 2 years ago, there's run every season that's come along. If you remember, he ran at Abbotstown in the European cross country just not long after that. He ran the indoor season, he ran the outdoor season in 2022. He went into the cross country season. We saw that he lost the European title in the last few meters in the cross country, and then he went indoors again, ran some cracking times. And he's had a full outdoor season as well. But I mean, that's asking a lot for a lad who's only 18 or 17 during most of it, you know. And I think maybe it might be a time that he takes a season out just to develop and give himself breathing space. And I'm sure that he'll come back even stronger and particularly more competitive.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there. I was thinking when we were, preparing for this chat about some of the other local performances, maybe sort of moving away from the World Championships. Any of the local athletes, think of the people who are on the fringes of national standard, international standard, who have pulled up any trees.
Well, the person that's impressed me all year has been Louis Mallon. He first caught my eye when he won the 3,000-meter open race in Armagh way back in the winter. He's won the Irish Schools 1,500 meters, albeit in a slow race, but that wasn't his fault. It was up to the opponents to run a finish out of him. And then, of course, he pulled that 3:47 1,500 meters out of the hat like a rabbit and qualified him for the European Juniors. He didn't run well in the European Juniors by any stretch of the imagination. I think he was 10th or 11th in each heat, and he never really struck a blow at all. But I would put that down to experience, and I can only see Louis getting better, and I think he's got a very good coach as well, Jim McKeown. So there's a good combination going on there, and I would be looking forward to seeing a lot more of him in
Yeah, I mean,
the rest of 2023 and 24.
I think Jim does sterling work. I know that, he's brought a number of athletes through. And I agree with Louis. I mean, it is, when you move to that next stage of trying to compete internationally, you probably need, you know, several trips to really sort of find your feet and be confident and comfortable. Another lad, I mean, who I really rate, I've known him since his Maliki's days, and I think he sometimes flies under the radar, is Callum Morgan from Cander, ex-Maliki's.
Yes, I saw him in the European Junior 3000. He was in that as well. I mean, he's run a good 1500 as well, don't forget, Michael.
Three forty-four, Malcolm, 803 and 1357, which is good running for an under 23.
You and I would have been happy with that, Michael, wouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Callum will only get better. We can only just stand by and watch. But see, rather than this become totally middle distance orientated, I would also point out that I've seen a very good sprinter, I think, this year, and Russ Vicuni. I apologize if I haven't pronounced that right. Now, he's a 100-meter sprinter. He's won his age. He works. He's in the Loughview Club. He's won his age group, hundreds, all the way through. He's won the Irish schools. He's run 10.88, which for a 16-year-old is incredible.
Impressive.
And he was third in this. I don't think he ran that as well as he possibly could, but he was running into a 3-meter wind at the schools international. But he still finished third. We might really have a top-ranked sprinter in our hands that doesn't go to rugby.
Yeah, because there's always the big guy from Bangor a few years ago who, you know, Aaron Sexton, who I remember winning the Flavins Primary Schools Cross Country, went on to have a great sprint career, and it doesn't seem to have really worked out for him in rugby.
Well, not so far anyway, but of course you mature a lot later in that. But you brought me nicely onto the Commonwealth Youth Games. Did you see those?
I didn't. I sort of followed the news reports afterwards, but...
I watched that and it was a crazy meeting, absolutely. I mean, the levels were so varied, it was untrue. Now, we sent Frank Buchanan from Enniskillen qualified for the 1500 metres. He ran 3:58 to get there. And Frank went out there and found that the 1500 metres, and remember this is under 18, it was 1 in 3:37, Michael.
Oh my goodness.
Three of them under 3:40, and the field was stretched away back to the 4:30s. Frank was about 10th or 11th, and then he ran 4:10 or something like that. But now, that was away in Trinidad and Tobago. Now, whether the amount of effort and money spent sending him to that quality of a race will do him good or not remains to be seen. But I think it's something that maybe as an association we should be looking at as, okay, you get there, but what do you get in return for it? I mean, we sent five. The two sprinters sprinted well, but they didn't get to the final. Anna Gardner was brilliant. She was fifth in the 3000. And I mean, Lucy Foster as well performed well in the 1500. But the fifth woman's 1500, we'll say women, the girls' 1500 was 1 in 4:12. Now, the only person we have running quicker than that is Kira.
Yeah, which is sensational. I was going to mention Anna Gardner, she's a kid who's really good progress, Irish schools title. I noticed she also won a gold in the Cardiff International. And she's quietly just emerged.
She won her Irish schools, and I think she won her national age group title as well. And I'm not sure off the top of my head who her coach is, but I'll tell you, he's doing a good job, or she's doing a good job, depending.
I was also looking at the results there again, thinking of the other, you know, young prodigies. Emer McKee, and I know we've chatted about her before. She's finished the season ranked in the top three in the UK over 1,500 and 3,000 metres and under 15. She's second in English championships. You know, after all the fanfare a couple of years ago, is she getting the time to kind of settle and progress without all the burden of expectation?
I've talked to her coach, Lawson Cochrane, about her, and he tells me that she, and it's a good thing as well, she does her GAA training a couple of times a week, and he might only see her once a week or once a fortnight. So she's not been killed with training. You know, she's going to stay fresh. And if you remember, that's the background that Kira McGeehan came from as well.
Yeah.
She came from playing Camogie. But, I mean, whatever little speed, agility, quickness exercises they do from training for that, it certainly stands them in good stead when they turn to athletics. And if you notice as well, I mean, like, that was something, without laboring the point, that was something that Kira lost during those marathon coach days as well. She used to have such cadence and such fast feet. And then she got heavy footed, it seemed to me, purely my personal opinion. But she's back now. She's like, she's really bouncy and she's top of the track. You know, and that cadence is really, really something else.
Yeah, that definitely, I think there's something in that. In terms of local meetings over the year, Eamon's meeting is always a success. And I think we met at the Irish Miners this year.
Yes, yes. That was the last time I saw you since you were chasing me down in a road relay in Island again.
And what did you think? Any standout performances in that?
Oh, well, I thought, I mean, this, every year I would give the Oscar for meeting organization to Eamon. Yeah. You know, it's just so slick, and I mean, you can, I mean, it's organized from the heart and not from the head, if that makes any sense. I mean, obviously the women's 800 stood out with three of them going under 2 minutes, and the men's 8 wasn't bad either, although Fitzsimmons decided to move up to 1500 this year, but it was still a good race. That Ethan Hussey, I thought was class.
Yeah, and, he's a very, very talented boy. Did he break 1:45 this year? I think
he squeezed under it late in the season, but from his racing, I mean, he does too much racing, you know, and didn't he get a silver medal in the European under 23s or a bronze medal as well? So it's not been a bad year for him.
The other meeting that I really enjoyed, and I was delighted to see it back on the calendar, was the Belfast BMC that Mark Kirk was instrumental in bringing back. But still very good.
It was more of a workman's meeting. You know, everybody got a run and so on and so forth, whereas Eamon's borders on being an international, well, it is an international meeting, but it has all the slickness and of an international meeting. But I thought Kirky's meeting was excellent as well. But, you know, there's room for both of them and maybe more on the calendar. You know, especially when we seem to have one of the fastest tracks in maybe Europe, you know, from what...
I was in the North Belfast 5,000 meter meet in late April, and it seems a very long time ago now. Danny, did you break? Did you catch any of the meetings we've just been chatting about?
Yeah, I actually was at the BMC regional race and thought it was fantastic. I actually noticed as well that a bloke named Will Lewis, he's an Australian, he got the win in the men's A race. So it's good to see a bit of Australian representation there. But yeah, as you said, the meet seemed very slick. It was a nice afternoon. It's nice to see, you know, full lineups for a number of different races, and yeah, just good performances. I mean, in that men's A race, you had that Will Lewis coming first, and then Callum Morgan and Andrew McGilligan, a couple of local guys, coming second and third there. So yeah, it was good to see.
Yeah, I love you calling him McGilligan. Milligan.
Sorry, what did I say? McGilligan. Yeah, sorry, Milligan. I should have said yeah.
just on Andrew Milligan, I remember him as a schoolboy, and he was, and he won't mind me saying it, a fairly average schoolboy, maybe top 10 in the Ulster Schools senior boys cross country, 4:10, 4:12. He's made an amazing journey to, he's now run almost 4 dead and 3:40 for 1500. And Malcolm, you know, something I am always interested in when looking at athletes is, you know, talent is the easy bit, but it's the athletes who, due to, you know, pure determination, resilience, and really wanting it, that make, you know, huge progress.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're talking about Andrew being around a long time. I have photographs of Andrew running. And you remember Ryan Maxwell's mile meeting at the Mary Peters years and years ago? He was only an under 14, and there was this huge guy with specs, and that was Andrew, you know. And he was nothing extraordinary, I may say. But as you say, like, you have to take your hat off to him. He's worked hard, and he's getting there as well. I mean, he'll run sub 4 minutes for the mile, I don't have any doubt. But then again, everybody runs sub 4 minutes for the mile.
And also, it's been good, Sorry.
Faith Kipyegon will run sub 4 minutes for the man soon.
Yeah, it's sort of it's going to be a whole other episode sometime to get you in to chat about the credibility of some of the performances. One of the things that struck me about the World Championships going back to that was that athletes who were running 12:40, Kjelcha, for instance, they come to the championships and they just can't do it. And I think again, it's going back to the time trial concept.
Those East Africans are stupid, but they are buck stupid. I mean, what they do is in the world final, they've been running 12:40s and 12:50s in the Diamond League. And what do they do then? They allow Jakob Ingebrigtsen to turn it into a 1,200 meters, and he's going to beat them at it every time. I just don't understand why they don't take it out at the 12:40, 12:50, even without the pacer lights. It's indefensible, really, their
Yeah,
tactics or lack of tactics.
they sort of tended to do the same thing when Farah was around. I remember so many races that all
Yeah, that's right.
played to his strengths.
They're like moths round a flame, aren't they?
Yeah, just one last thing before we let you go. I was also sort of, I think it's important we give a bit of love to some of the masters on the track, and I was looking at the North Belfast trio today of Conor Curran, Gareth Lyons, and the perennial Davy Clark. And Conor and Gareth are both 45 masters, Davy 60. Conor Curran, 2 minutes, 4:59, won a GB Masters title. Gareth Lyons, 2:02, 4:58, 57, Irish Masters title. Davy is pulling up trees nationally in his age category. It's amazing seeing guys of that vintage still with that appetite for the track.
Absolutely. I've seen Gareth Lyons somewhere this year, and he really impressed me. I mean, he ran an 800, 1500 meter double on the one day. And of course, we both know Connor was probably one of your apprentices at one time, and Andrew Strader's. And he's still running very, very well. He should have broken 2 minutes this year. And he was
Yeah,
very
no.
unfortunate in the early part of the year that you remember he fell a few meters from winning the medal in the World Indoors. I think it was in Torun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or wherever it was anyway. And David Clark has come to the sport from cycling, and he's been, in master's terms, he's been like a blooming whirlwind, the way he's taken the sport apart. Overall, those middle distances, 8, 15, 3,000, 5,000, they're all the same to Dave, and a very nice bloke as well. And Michael, let's not forget as well that they probably have the European Masters toward the end of this month in Italy, and they'll all be looking to come back with
Pescara.
medals from there. Hi,
Yeah,
Pescara.
I think one of the big medal hopes certainly from here will be John Craig from Annadale, who I think he's
Yeah.
running the 5,000. And
John's
also
very impressive as well. And again, another very nice fella. I would expect John to get a medal in Pescara. The only thing I don't know what the temperature is going to be like at that time of the year, which might make it a 5,000 meters difficult for him, but he has certainly enough guts and determination.
yeah, and Catherine O'Connor from Eastdown, who's had a fantastic season, come late in the running and is coached by Norman Bissett. I think she's run the 3,000. She's recorded a 9:39 for Masters Lady this year, which is sensational.
Yes, I mean, well, you couldn't have any better man behind you than Norman Bissett, as we both know. That should be worth a drink to me or a coffee at some stage. But Catherine O'Connor impressed me particularly in the cross country season. She was very strong. She got a good running technique, and I could see her being about in the sport as a very good master for a long time to come.
Okay, well, Malcolm, I think our time is nearly done. So, can I just thank you for joining us tonight and giving us the benefit of your sage advice and wisdom?
Well, I'm not so sure about the sage advice and wisdom, but I always have an opinion or two to
Well,
spare.
that's what we want on the back straight opinions.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, welcome back to part two. So, Danny, that was Malcolm McCausland. He has an opinion or two, so said a lot of really interesting things.
Definitely, he's got a lot of great knowledge about the athletic scene over here, and I was just sitting here soaking it all up, and it was great to hear someone who's quite passionate and knows a lot about the sport.
Yeah, because I think that's really what we want to try and do. There's no point of us sitting here and just, you know, straightforward reportage. There has to be a little bit of opinion, a little bit of dispute, a little bit of conjecture, because I think that's what people want to hear.
So moving on from there, Michael, the track season's done. What's coming our way competition-wise?
Well, one of the big events that's coming up is the Northern Ireland Road Relays in Victoria Park. It's quite an extravaganza. It's followed a week later by the Bangor 10K, which I think is the Northern Ireland and Ulster Championship. And then also, I think the week before that, we have actually the next weekend, we have the Belfast Half Marathon. So look, preview of the road relays. It's always highly competitive. Looking at the ladies, first of all, Annadale Striders have won it for the last couple of years. And again, we'll probably start favourites with Hannah Gilliland, Robin McKee, Dervla Cox, and one other. North Down and Clonliffe, if they come up, will be the big threats. And also, I think a dark horse or St. Peter's, who won, I think, the cross-country league for the ladies last year. Some good young runners. For the Masters ladies, you're probably looking at Beachmount and Lagan Valley, and possibly Striders, though they have a few injuries. For the Masters men, I think North Belfast will start as huge favourites with Conor Curran and Gareth Lyons leading the team, and they're ably supported. I think they're going to be really hard to beat. City of Derry and Striders probably are the only real threats. Senior men, I think, is going to be a really interesting one. The dynamic of the competition changed last year with the emergence of Clonliffe. They came up from Dublin and you know, they were very, very strong. And Ephraim Gidey produced a sensational leg. They just blew the competition apart. If they come up again this year, they would start favourites. Annadale will produce a decent team, as will North Belfast. Some Malachies were runners-up last year, but I'm hearing that Ben Branagh has decided to step away from competition for a while. And without Ben, that's a big hole in their team. The real stalking horse for this competition, and I would love to see it, are Candor. With Griggs and Callum Morgan, if they decided to put a team out with those two guys, and they have a number of other really strong up-and-coming runners, I think they would be a real threat, and it would be a really fantastic way for them to announce themselves. But I've no indication at all. I don't know if they intend to run, so it's just purely speculation on my part. What do you think? You know of the club, and obviously they've got one of the coolest vests. What do you reckon if they came out?
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I was actually going to ask, would this be the first team event where they have actually entered a team, or as far as you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's going to depend on how, you know, Griggs and Morgan and company have, you know, they've had a long season and whether it fits with their plans. But those guys could knock out a 3K, you know, really, really easily. Before that, though, we've got the Belfast Half Marathon, and it's a tough course. It's next weekend.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, you're not running?
Yeah, or I am running. So oh, wow. I was hoping just a nice flat course, nice and easy. yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I'll find one of the really tough parts of the course towards the end just to encourage you. I'll be standing there with eating a kebab and having a nice cold beer or something just as you go by.
Yeah, so that race starts in Ormo Park and finishes. It goes sort of finishes in Ormo Park. It goes via West Belfast, I believe, out that way.
Yeah, it goes out. Via Victoria Park and stuff and around a lot of the city. Takes a bit like the marathon, takes a lot of the city in. Conor McCaughey is one of the entrants for it. I haven't a definitive list of who the runners are, but Conan's in good form and will be in the shakeup. Iskander Turkey from Annadale is also hoping to make his half marathon debut. And again, Iskander's, I think, potentially could run really well, but has a little niggle at the minute, so we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Again, I've heard a few rumours. Stephen Scullion is around the city at the moment, and if Strava's anything to go by, he's in good shape. And if he started, I think he, you know, would be very, very difficult to beat. It'd be great to see him on his home course, what he could do. From the women's perspective, I think Anne-Marie McGlynn is a late entrant. And again, Anne-Marie's the runner of real pedigree, and you know, I would think she'd be very, very difficult to beat. So that could be a really good race to watch. And finally, the last thing just to look forward to, I guess, is the Bangor 10K, which is at the end of September. Again, it's haven't seen a definitive field, but usually it draws quite a few of the better runners. Is a good early season indicator of you know, what may be coming, who's running well, and be interesting to see which clubs get good teams out. But that's how the road kind of events are looking.
Yeah, that's that Bangor race as well. That's an Ulster Championship race for the 10K.
It is, it is. You know, excellent. Last year I think Striders won it last year, but you know, it wasn't that competitive. Again, just its timing. But it is a good event, and North Down put a lot of work into promoting it.
So I suppose that's all of the road races that are in the next couple of weeks. But I believe the cross country season begins in Armagh, 24th of September.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, the Macclesfield cross country. Now, it's an event, I think it's just been running for maybe 2-3 years. And I'm hoping for the first time to get down to the race this year because I've got a few athletes running. It's the first sort of competition, or first leg of the cross country league, which is proving really popular over the last few years. North Belfast are the men's defending champions, St. Peter's the ladies. So I'm hoping to get down. It's apparently a pretty challenging course, you know, more old school cross country. A lot of courses these days tend to be parkland or, you know, sports pitches kind of thing. And I think this is, you know, a wee bit more tricky, you know, slightly tougher ground conditions, a few hills. And I think a lot of the old school cross country enthusiasts prefer that. I think it's makes it a real test.
So I'm expecting a lot of mud for that race. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I think it depends if it starts raining, of course. But, you know, I think it should be a good race and, you know, one maybe to get down to.
Definitely. It's a nice way to kick the season off. And, hopefully it's a good cross-country season with lots of participants from a number of different clubs. So, yeah, really looking forward to that.
So, Danny, I think we've dealt with all the fixtures, with the upcoming events, but really importantly, did we get any feedback from our loyal listener or listeners out there in podcast world?
Well, you'll be glad to know it's listeners. We've got a good following so far. So yeah, keep it coming. Hopefully we've got a few loyal listeners out there. We did actually get a couple of questions from the last episode, the last sort of our pilot episode. One of them was about our super hip intro and outro music. So that's actually from a local band called Junk Draw, who were voted best live act in last year's NI Music Awards. And I guess their sort of connection to us is that one of their members, Jake Lennox, is a keen runner with the Wasteland Track Club training group. And he's also an Annandale Strider. Railroad King is the name of that song. And ever since we decided on putting that as the intro and the outro, I've just been having it rolling through on my Spotify, just listening to it all the time. So
I would think after that plug, we should be on the guest list for like every gig they ever do in Belfast for the next decade or so.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'm sure we can talk to Jake and work something out.
Yeah, I just want the M&Ms with all the brown ones removed and the bottle of Jack Daniels, and I'll be sweet. Yeah,
absolutely. And in addition to that question, we actually had a question for you, Michael. This is from Chris Anderson.
Okay.
Wasteland Track Club athlete. He has asked, can Michael explain his coaching philosophy and where he draws inspiration from?
My coaching philosophy is basically pain, 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 pain. I don't think we've got time remaining in the episode to go into that. I think it's just about helping people to discover their potential, enjoy what they do, try to keep it simple, and, you know, create a group dynamic where people can help each other. But I will have a private conversation with them and over coffee and explain all.
Maybe that's something that we can have in a future episode. We can get a few coaches in here and we can all sort of, well, not
just,
we,
I'm
but
just
you
delighted.
Guys can talk about, yeah.
I'm just delighted that he thinks I have a philosophy.
Yeah. And this one's actually a bit of a funny question as well. We got a question here that says, do mullets, as in the hairstyle, make you run faster? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I would have thought I had one back in the 80s. And if anybody remembers some of my performances, you know, I think the evidence would suggest that they slow you down. I don't know. I mean, yeah, we've and Matthew Devlin, who's probably got one of the greatest mullets anywhere in the world at the minute, isn't in Ireland running at the moment. So we've no sort of, I don't know, case study to look at. I don't know. I'll have to give that one more thought.
Yeah, there's a few runners I can think of.
We could ask Cameron Stewart. Well, let's see how he runs this year, because he has a sort of little mullet thing going there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few runners I can think of. There's an Australian sprinter by the name of Rohan Browning, and he is very fast. He has a very glorious mullet as well. Craig Engels from the US, also a really good runner. So there's a couple of examples of good runners with mullets. I guess from a aerodynamics perspective, it would probably help, but then you could also argue maybe just go bald at that point.
Yeah, and with there also seems to be a connection between the mullet and the tash.
Yep.
A lot of mullet wearers have a little tash as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's the kind of 70s kind of porn star ethic as well, but we won't go there.
No, maybe it's best to leave that one out. So yeah, look, the answer to that question is we're not entirely sure, but we'll endeavor to get to the bottom of it and get back with a result on that. Look, moving on from there, time's almost up for our first episode here. But, you know, Michael, what can we look forward to in the next episode?
Well, we're going to be talking to Mark Kirk about his role as endurance performance lead in Northern Ireland and Ulster. I've known Mark a long time, and he's a guy with a wealth of experience. And I think it'd be really interesting to hear what he says about the state of endurance running in Northern Ireland and Ulster at the moment. We might also launch, we've been thinking about an item called the Random Runner segment of the show, where we're just going to, you know, grab runners at events and find out a little bit about them. That will be us deploying our mobile microphone for the first time, which is very exciting, Danny. That piece of high technology we bought from China for about 30 quid.
Yeah, well, hopefully this doesn't make a lot of people avoid us at different meets. If they see us coming over with a microphone, they might start running the other direction. But
it'd be really interesting if people were running away from us faster than they actually run in the races.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With their mullets flying in the wind.
Yeah. The listeners can look forward to all of that in a couple of weeks' time. But for now, I guess we just sort of sign off. So look, thanks, Michael. It was a great episode.
Okay, see you next time in the back straight, Danny.
Yep, see you then. Hooroo.